This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Year 17 or 18, somewhere in there. Started in a studio, in a barn, on the Naramata Bench. We're now in Mill Bay, Vancouver Island. Some weeks are quiet. They're serene. They're contemplative. Not this week. Not this one. Here's the lineup for this show. We're going to start with Kimberly Hundermark, who is the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festivals. Jason Priestley and I met Kimberly and her husband, Jeff, who's now the chief winemaker at Mount Boucherie, in Niagara at the Niagara Wine Festival when we were shooting Hollywood and Vines. And all we talked about was BC and the wines, what was going on out here. And they ended up moving. I guess we set the thing in motion. Anyway, that's what they told us. And we're going to have a conversation with Kimberly about her kickoff. She's got today, Saturday, the kickoff to the Okanagan Spring Wine Festival with a wine garden party. She's going to tell you all about it. And then Friday, June the 9th, the BC Lieutenant Governor Wine Awards are handed out. It's a private affair. They salute their platinum winners and they declare the wine of the year. And then it goes directly into the Spring Grand Tasting at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. There's the newly launched passport tastings, the designated driver taste passport. There's lots to check out, lots of information. And then we're going to catch Top Drop on the road. One of the guys who drives that is Curtis Colt. We're going to find him, I think, in Calgary, if I'm not mistaken. So we have a chance to talk to David Patterson from Tantalus, Severine Pint from Le Vieux Pin, Kelsey Rufinage from Else and Echo. And we hook up with Hannah Stewart from Lightfoot and Wolfville, the wonderful winery Bubble House in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, in the Gaspereau Valley. And then we finish with Devlin Barker. He's representing, of course, the Hatch, all of the punks at the Hatch, who are all getting in some sort of school bus and heading for Mahoney's in Falls Creek for a Wednesday pour, this coming Wednesday, the 7th of June. They're pouring wild stuff, like not just new releases, but library releases from Jason Parks Customs, from The Hatch, from Black Swift, from Screaming Frenzy, and more. And he's going to tell you all about it. It's going to happen Wednesday. Make your plans, because this is unlike anything you've seen. It's really crazy, and it's only $25 to get in. If you're ready, here we go, Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. You are officially invited to sip into summer at their signature event series. Saturday, June 3rd, the Okanagan Spring Wine Festival kicks off the festival with a brand new wine garden party presented by Valley First. It takes place at the Cove Lakeside Resort in West Kelowna. And then Friday, June the 9th, at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center, it's the Valley First Okanagan Spring Grand Tasting. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com. She is the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festivals. Her name is Kimberly Hundermark, and she's a pal, and I've known her for quite a while, and I'm thrilled to be having this conversation about another wine festival in the Okanagan. Hello, Kimberly.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Fine. How did the, you were kind enough to invite me to the judging of the Lieutenant Governor Awards. How did the exercise go? The comments that came back from everybody that was judging in the room were really good.
Oh, first of all, it was an honor to have you there. I was very excited. You were on my wish list when we started to curate the judges that we wanted to have present. So I was glad you were able to make time for that. Overall, being that it was the first time it's returned since 2021, we were faced with a little doubt and a little nervousness. And by the end of it, it was like just a perfectly humming orchestra of wine tasting and judges and commentary and participation. It was amazing. I had so much fun, and usually that would be really stressful, but I wasn't all that stressed. I actually really enjoyed it.
You were a little busy.
Busy, but I like busy. I thrive in busy.
Okay. And you're going to announce those because the Platinums have been so pre-announced, but you're going to salute the Winery of the Year coming up on the 9th?
That's right. That's right. So we'll be doing hosting a reception just before the Grand Tasting South, and we'll provide the platinum winners with their plaques, and then we will be announcing out of those platinum winners the wine of the year. So that's very, it's been a heavily guarded secret. It's kind of like the Oscars. And we'll be announcing that. I'm really, really excited. The winery that it's going to is very, very deserving.
I've had to be very careful in the interviews that I've done since to make sure I didn't blurt out something.
Oh, it's so hard.
Now it is a blur. It was a blur, absolutely blur, total blur. I couldn't wait to have a beer. So
You
Saturday,
provided
June,
that.
it's tradition handed down.
It is, absolutely.
Saturday, June 3rd, the kickoff, the Okanagan Spring Wine Festival, kicks off at the brand new Wine Garden Party presented by Valley First. So that's the banner. What is it going to be? What's the room going to be like?
Well, it'll be outside in the garden overlooking Lake Okanagan at a local venue called the Cove Lakeside Resort. It'll be very beautiful, very intimate, just a lovely afternoon out. I wanted something that was simple and just celebrating our new releases. And to me, nothing says spring releases more than being out in the backyard. So this is the best of both worlds, and it's just going to be a really elegant afternoon.
And you'll be noshing.
There will be food provided as well. Yeah, the executive chef on premise will be providing a couple different food stations that he's kind of keeping very guarded about, but I'm excited. His performance at other venues is always stellar, so I think it's going to be exciting.
And what will you be pouring on the day?
It will be new releases of sparklings, rosés, whites, and reds. So there'll be
Perfect.
20 of our partnering wineries, and each of them will be charged with presenting at least three of their new releases.
Very nice. Now, and then we go to Friday, June the 9th. How is it going to roll out?
So that's down in Penticton. So we now do a central North Okanagan and then South Okanagan tiers of our events. And that one is usually a slightly larger footprint just because the number of wineries that we represent in the South Okanagan is much greater than the North piece. So
Right.
we'll have 30 wineries. They'll be following the BCLG awards. And that room is more curated with food stations. So
Yeah.
there'll be six stations, 30 wineries, live music. That's going to be a larger footprint of an event, a little more of a gala feel than the garden party will.
When do you want to tell them about the Taste Passport?
Well, the Taste Passport is something that I feel very strongly about. We're going to be offering four different versions of the Taste Passport over the 2 weekends, so the 3rd, 4th, and then the 10th, 11th. And the visitor can select from over 30 different experiences, but they can select six with their passport. They customize their itinerary, and then they hit their wineries of choice and experience an elevated tasting that they wouldn't experience otherwise. So it's very special to the Taste Passport, exclusive to the Taste Passport. It's $65. It's great value,
Tis.
and the wineries are all doing something really special. That's actually an afternoon
Yeah.
grazing, self-guided grazing
Okay.
tour. So that runs from 11 to 5. So on the hour, you would book your tastings and just sort of a self-guided tour. You build your own itinerary. So you go where you want to go, but they like to know who you are in advance.
But yes, of course. But you do have a designated driver taste passport as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I feel that's very important. That's that social responsible piece that I always
Totally.
wave that flag. But we offer that as well, so they can experience the pairing portion of it without the wine. So water and a pairing.
Are the wineries ready to party? Are we, the consumer, ready to party? What's the mindset these days?
It seems that everyone really wants it. But that commitment to it, I think people are still uncertain of the economy, of whether they want to travel, whether they want to explore, whether they want to put themselves out there. I thought by 2023 we would have rebounded completely,
Yeah.
but no, I think this is still almost like a summer in its infancy of visitation again. But the cellar door side of it, the wineries are ready, their
Okay.
staffs are trained, they're super pumped.
Okay.
Their doors are wide open and they're excited to welcome people back to the wine environment. I mean, that's where it all happens. That's where the storytelling happens. It can happen in a big ballroom, don't get me wrong. But when you're sitting at the cusp of a beautiful vineyard overlooking these breathtaking vistas that we have here in the Okanagan, it's so special. And the characters behind all of these stories are just exceptional human beings that, as you know, I'm
Yeah.
very passionate about helping to tell their stories.
Let's talk about those exceptional human beings for a second. I'm fascinated by groups of friends who gather to do festivals together. They don't come singular. They come either a husband and wife or couples or whatever, but it's the large groups of women, because from those large groups of women comes some of the best laughs in the day, the things that they love. You can hear their friendship. You can hear how much they want to be with each other. Something you can't put a stamp on. It just is. It's part of the room. So are we 50-50 in terms of gender? What do you think?
So what I find experience-wise is the afternoon events tend to be where the gals get together, they put on their hats and their sundresses, and they go out for the day.
Yeah.
And then they'll gather somewhere in the evening with their better halves. When it comes to the evening events, I do find that they tend to be more couple or couples
It's a date.
who hang out together. Like,
Yeah.
this is a thing that they do.
Yeah.
Truly, Jeff and I miss that. We used to do that all the time. But now we're behind the scenes a lot more, so we don't get to. But that's what I see. I really see that couples enjoy the evening side
Okay.
and friends and the gathering of those groups are definitely afternoon focused.
Just a couple of things. One thing that people may not know about you is that you've done this before, but you did it in Niagara. And then you reinvented yourself here, yourself and Jeff. And does Niagara Festival different from the Okanagan, do you think?
I think so. And the only reason I say that is the tourism piece of it, like the destination winery tourism piece, was a little more evolved than it was here when we first came 5 years ago. But I am seeing that level of engagement and interest and the desire for change and elevated experiences is now catching up. So I wouldn't say that they're different. I just think that they're at different points in the evolution of festival.
Okay. Now, it may get lost in all of the shuffle, but what we're really doing is celebrating the craft of winemaking, right? And from
Absolutely.
year to year, it's not, I know the wine in the bottle is the be all and end all, and that's the punchline. It's the year they went through to make that wine, to get beaten down by hailstorms and smoke and whatever. To come to take all of those challenges, beat them all back, and create that wine is what we celebrate.
100%, and that's why we're really trying to focus on that sense of place, that vineyard, that growing
Yeah.
season, what happened. And in the fall festival, that's going to be a big focus this year. We've moved the fall festival a little bit later so that the vintners can be part of that and they can tell the audience what to expect in 2024. But I completely agree. To me, that's where the magic
Sure.
happens. And then on the crush pad in the cellar following, the bottle is just sort of the end result of all of that. But if you didn't have that passion at the outset and that hard work and I've been watching the nail biting here at home, believe me, it's to be celebrated when it all comes together and you've got these incredible wines in bottle and you're able to celebrate together as an industry. I
Okay.
love it.
By the way, it does say, in addition to the festival's signature events, there are a number of special events featured throughout the Okanagan Valley. Visit our website for the full listing of upcoming events. And the website is
The wine festivals with an S.com.
thewinefestivals.com. kimberlyhundredmark.com. Her name is Kimberly Hundredmark, and she will be busy, but we'll have time to say hello and wave and pose for pictures and accept congratulations and congratulations for redefining what a wine festival can be.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. I'm very excited.
She's Kimberly Hundredmark. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. You are officially invited to sip into summer at their signature event series. Saturday, June 3rd, the Okanagan Spring Wine Festival kicks off the festival with a brand new wine garden party presented by Valley First. It takes place at the Cove Lakeside Resort in West Kelowna. And then Friday, June the 9th, at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center, it's the Valley First Okanagan Spring Grand Tasting. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Just for your information, Gismondi on Wine has given 6 of the Mooncursor releases 90 points or better. 2020 Contraband Syrah, 2020 Touriga National, and Mooncursor Malbec, 91 points each. With 90 points, Dead of Night 2020, Syrah 2020, Petit Verdot 2020, and that's just the beginning. And just a reminder that the tasting room at Mooncursor is now open. All the details at mooncursor.com. We're doing interviews, Helter Skelter, my friends, at Top Drop in Vancouver and Calgary, of course, at the end of the week. Severine Pinte has joined me. She is the managing director of Le Vieux Pain. And you have, how many Top Drops have you done before?
I think it's our second one. Second show, yes.
And you like the fit. It's comfortable.
Yes, yes. I love the idea behind that every wine starts in the dirt, and seeing so many wineries from all around the world that have that philosophy and believe that we need to take care of our land and grow the best grape possible to make the best wine is absolutely outstanding and very invigorating.
I had the honor to be there for the opening of Le Vieux Pain when they're underneath the tent. And on that very hot day, and you talked about organic and sustainable practices, which you have promised and came through with. And so it makes sense that you would be a Top Drop pouring because that's what they encourage. That's what they're looking for.
Yes, yes. And we've been working for the last, I guess we're almost getting there to 20 years with Le Vieux Pain. And we've had many opportunities to practice sustainable management in the vineyard and in the winery and with our staff and our neighbor. And we are now certified sustainable with the Sustainable Wine Growing BC program that was launched in November 2020. And that's really an honor for me to have launched this with the wineries and the vineyard to be able to take care of our land, make sure that we are doing the best that we can to save water, for example, or be fair with our employee.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm looking at the wines you're pouring today. The Cuvée d'Oie 2020, a glorious Roussan Viognier blend.
It's 80% Roussan and 20% Viognier, and it's one of our so for the longest time we were doing that blend with Viognier Roussan Marsan called Ava.
Yep.
And in 2020 when we sat down to make the blend for Ava, we found that there's some barrels that had way more potential, and we just took a chance and then left them in barrel a bit longer, and that's how the Cuvée d'Oie was born. It's like some people say it's the Ava on steroids, and it's just so showing how the South Okanagan and our sandy terroir can express the elegance of the Roussan and lots of flower aromas and such a nice texture. So it's delicious.
Oh, thank you, Seb. I can't wait to taste it, frankly. The Sab Blanc, the 2022 Sab Blanc that you're pouring today, it has texture to it. It has substance. How did you treat it?
Yeah, so we get grapes from a few different vineyards, and for me, it's the most difficult wine to make because the berries need to taste perfectly, and then the taste can go away very quickly. There's a different curve in the aroma spectrum for the Sauvignon Blanc, and one of the vineyards that we have around La Stella is north facing but super steep and has a gradient of maturity from the bottom to the top, and that one gets to be vinified in barrel and then goes through the malolactic fermentation.
Nice.
And then that's the one that gives the creaminess, so that's the one that gives the texture in the wine, whereas the other blocks are more on the sharp acidity, maybe the green apple, and so that the blend is overall quite balanced, I think.
You're pouring a Syrah today, correct?
Yes, we're pouring Sauvignon Blanc today on our table, yes.
And Syrah?
And Syrah, yeah, we're pouring the 2021 Syrah Cuvée Violette, yep. And the Equinox Syrah as well, the 2019. Yes.
I'm just looking at, also, you're pouring, is La Stella right beside you? Or are they pouring beside you?
Yeah, La Stella is here too, and we're pouring the La Stellina Rosé. The blend of Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Sangiovese. And then we have our Super Tuscan, the Fortissimo.
Yep.
The new Super Tuscan, the Classico di Osoyoos, that has about 50% of Sangiovese. And if you get a chance to come on the trade show this afternoon, there's the Arioso, which is our 100% Sangiovese that we do only on the years where the Sangiovese gets really to the perfect maturity.
So, and did you bring Maestro?
Yes, we have the Maestoso as well, just to top it up, to see what Merlot can do in BC. And it's a beautiful lineup at La Stella.
Thank you for talking and sharing your talents and your wines. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Talking to Severine Pint, who is the managing director of Le Vieux Pin.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
It's the pride of the Gaspereau Valley, my friends. I have Hannah Stewart here from Lightfoot and Wolfville, who has traveled across the country to have a phone conversation at Top Drop in Vancouver. I keep thinking about, first of all, I love the Gaspereau Valley, and I love the people who, I got to see it in the early steps. It was really good timing to watching the growth happen. But tell me what it looks like 10, 15 years later. Has it exploded?
Oh, definitely. You know, the town of Wolfville, which we're situated the first farm outside of town limits, 3,500 permanent residents saw 800 new residents in 2022. So, you know, not only the wine industry leading quite a bit of growth in the area, but it's certainly driving up the culinary scene as well. And it's bumping in a way that we haven't seen since the early 70s.
Did the restaurants follow?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the town of Wolfville now has, not only the town of entire Annapolis Valley has some world-class cuisine. When you can get a beef carpaccio with shaved foie gras on it on a Tuesday night in Wolfville, you know you're making something happen.
And some fries. I have Hannah Stewart here from Lightfoot and Wolfville at Top Drop in Vancouver. How long did it take to get Halifax's attention?
Yeah, I mean, Nova Scotians, unfortunately had been subject to some really bad wines in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
So it's really been in the past 10 years, the creation of Tidal Bay as a geographic appellation and the ability to ripen vinifera in our province, that we've really seen locals get on board. We've been talked about in international wine circles for a number of years now, but now we're hearing from more Nova Scotians that they're drinking exclusively Nova Scotian, and that is a big driver for our business and for the entire Nova Scotian wine industry in general.
Hannah Stewart with Lightfoot and Wolfville, Nova Scotia. One more question, and then I want to ask you just what you're pouring. So the question is, the success of Benjamin Bridge down the road, and the fact that they not only were just saying, okay, we're not just making wines for Nova Scotia or the Maritimes or Quebec or whatever. We're going across the country. We're going to talk to, we're going to sell wine, Nova Scotia wines in BC. And they did it. Did that encourage you to take that same road?
Yeah, I mean, we're at a point now where a lot of our vineyard plantings, which only started in 2009, are coming online and producing in a way that we haven't seen before. 2020, 2021, and 2022 have been our best vintages ever. So we're now at the point where we can actually look to sell wines outside of our market.
Yep.
You know, initially it had been more just building awareness, but now we actually have ability to let that go from our cellar door, and the response has been incredibly positive.
I see you're pouring some Chardonnay, the 2018.
Actually, I have the 2020 vintage. I swapped it out just because 2020, for a myriad of reasons, was a fantastic vintage for us.
Hannah Stewart here from Lightfoot and Wolfville at Todd Drop in Vancouver. Did you bring the Brut to pour?
I did. I brought the 2017 Brut.
And the Brut Rosé?
Yep. We've got the 2019 vintage of the Brut Rosé. So our Brut being bringing a Blanc de Blanc in our 2017, and our Brut being a Blanc de Noir, 100% Pinot Noir in our 2019 vintage, and showing beautifully now as great expressions of those wines, and wonderful, showcasing that high minerality that we're used to from a Nova Scotia traditional method.
And let's finish, if we can, Hannah, with the fauna and flora. Tell them the difference.
I mean, the foundation of the Nova Scotia wine industry was always in the hybrids, and climate change has worked in our benefit to date, but extreme weather patterns certainly make us susceptible to vintage variations. So the hybrids have found a place in our portfolio for everyday, easy drinking patio wines with or without food. And that's flora and fauna for us. That's what we crack, you know, on a nice sunny afternoon after we mow the lawn, where the Bruts and the Brut Rosé and the are more of our wines that we pair with food and an experience around. So, you know, flora and fauna have an important part in our portfolio. And it's interesting to see here at Top Drop how many people are really responding well to the hybrids. They're not just a dirty bird anymore. So so we've been really, really happy with that response.
Hannah Stewart, Lightfoot and Wolfville. And thank you for coming to the Left Coast. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, well, we're happy to be here. And we're so excited to be in this wine market that is highly educated and looking for new and exciting things. So thank you so much for showcasing.
You are welcome here, Hannah. Thank you.
Cheers.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Just for your information, Gismondi on Wine has given 6 of the Mooncursor releases 90 points or better. 2020 Contraband Syrah, 2020 Touriga Nationale, and Mooncursor Malbec, 91 points each. With 90 points, Dead of Night 2020, Syrah 2020, Petit Verdot 2020, and that's just the beginning. And just a reminder that the tasting room at Mooncursor is now open. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New Kids on the Bench, the Hillside Bistro Collaboration Culinary Dinner, as the chefs of the Naramata Bench come together for a legendary wine and dine event, Monday, June the 12th. Hillside Wines to watch for: Below the Road Rosé, the new 22 Goo in Pinot Blanc, the 2019 Gamay, and the platinum-winning 2021 Heritage Viognier. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. It's a 2023, and Top Drop has returned to our senses, Top Drop being the best small wine gathering that I know of, and I'm not alone in that opinion. And one of the organizers is Curtis Colt. It takes a team of Curtis Colts to do this. And I found him in Calgary. tell me, Curtis, if I can, if I can actually give you time to talk, the difference between a Vancouver Top Drop and Calgary Top Drop.
The difference, you know, they're similar in scope. You know, they're all terroir-driven wineries, quite small. We had probably about 40 wineries in Vancouver, looking at towards 30 in Calgary. It's a lot of the same producers in both. It is quite similar, but, you know, we just want to share the love of these excellent producers that we have coming from Italy and France and Chile. And, of course, you know, my home province of British Columbia. And it's just sharing the love and expanding Albertaward.
What is your elevator pitch to the people in Italy, for example, how to get them on a plane and come to West
Yeah, I think just kind of the pedigree of the event. Now we've been doing this a bunch of years and just showing the quality of producers that we have had. You know, we are definitely very picky about the trade who come in here. To the events, we make sure it is the top sommeliers and retailers and media in each city that will be there, not a lot of filler. And also, you know, we attract a really good caliber of consumer as well. You know, wine enthusiasts, of course, but, you know, this isn't a big drink up kind of event. This isn't people just shoving a glass in someone's nose saying, hey, what's your most expensive? It is, you know, people who are, you know, thoughtful and interested and curious and maybe have traveled and they're looking to kind of expand their knowledge and their palates.
Now, I know the trade, you explained who comes in terms of the trade, but the evening tasting, are you seeing a lessening of, is there a gender 50-50? Are you seeing a younger crowd? Are you seeing an older crowd? Well, what are you noticing?
You know, what I like is that it is a mix. I would say maybe we skew a little bit more female, you know, which will go along with the wine buying habits that we know from statistics. But, you know, I do think that it is all ages. I would say compared to some wine events, we may skew a little younger. You know, a good handful of wineries are more of the natural wine bents, and that often will attract people who are just getting into wine. You know, it's a little bit less fussy stuff. You know, they like that some of these producers don't aren't you know, too strict with their rules and all that. And you know, it is welcoming to all ages, but yeah, we are seeing a nice young crowd. The you know, millennials and so on, they are drinking wine, you know, as opposed to what some of the media reports and the scare tactics say.
Yeah, we're seeing canned wine as well. We're seeing all sorts of trends. It's interesting. I know that you follow when you can or when you feel compelled to. One last question, because you are in Calgary. Does, I always think that because Alberta's next door and because they see, they're hearing, they get sort of news reports, they get people like me talking to them. Are they paying attention?
They absolutely are. You know, I think, you know, it's funny, British Columbia versus Alberta, very different wine markets. It's a lot more open in Alberta. It's a lot more broader of a selection available. And so, you know, there is definitely interest because of that selection. But, you know, it's a very cosmopolitan, awesome city, great food city. You know, they get a lot of tourists, a lot of travel, a lot of business travel here. And, you know, people, you know, when they're traveling are excited, they want to, you know, eat and drink. And we have a lot of top sommeliers, in this city from, you know, Brad Royal at, Major Tom to, yep, you know, Taylor at Teatro and so on, that are eager to show them some new stuff. So, you know, it is that community of wine enthusiasts, sommeliers and retailers that, you know, they want to share the stuff that they love and they want to share why they love it. So you can, you know, get that much joy and pleasure out of it as well.
It's like wine inbreeding is what it is. Okay.
Something like that. Sure.
Okay. I know you got to go. So thank you for doing this. And I would try to convince you to bring Top Drop back to Vancouver Island, Victoria in particular, wherever you can do it in Mill Bay. I don't give a damn. Just
we will take over the world soon.
Share the love. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
TDM, always appreciate the support. Thank you so much, and you keep doing what you're doing because we all love it.
Curtis Colt, Top Drop.
Thanks, buddy.
Kelsey Rufiange is with me, and she is at Top Drop 2023. What's the room like? Are there people? Are there any fist fights or anything going on?
Not yet. It's still early. People are just starting to stroll in.
Didn't you guys have a party last night of some kind?
Oh, we had a party the night before.
Yeah.
Which is great. Kind of the opening party at the Permanent. Yeah. Lots of good speeches and chats with other producers. Yeah, it was great.
I know that you're pouring Echo Bay and Else. Explain to the audience once again the difference between the two labels.
Well, Echo Bay is our family winery, so it's kind of special to us. We've grown up there. We planted the grapes. We do all the growing and then make our Bordeaux-style wines. And then I started Else kind of as a side project to be able to play with more varietals and kind of experiment a bit more.
Listen, it's fantastic. First of all, it's a great read when you read about wines right off a page. For example, you've got a Cab Franc Concrete 2020 from Echo Bay. You even qualify the concrete as square?
Yes.
Cubed
concrete.
None of that fancy round stuff like an egg.
Well, I mean, it makes a difference, right? We don't have the lee stirring going on. It's a completely different style of aging your wine.
And Nella,
so it's a bit more of a neutral.
Tell me about the Sangiovese called Nella.
Oh, the Sangiovese is pretty special to us. We planted it for the family. My uncle was a huge Chianti fan and named it after my grandmother who started Echo Bay and kind of brought all the family together. So we usually only make a barrel every year, which goes to wine club. But I'm pouring it today because we made two barrels this year. So it's kind of fun to be able to share it a bit more with everyone. Sangiovese is such a uncommon grape varietal in the Okanagan.
Kelsey, tell me how you got the blend or how you came to the blend of Synoptic.
Well, we planted it to make one blend on our vineyard.
You mean like a field blend?
Absolutely, yeah. That was the general idea. We were going to grow everything, do one pick. But you know how that goes. Things don't ripen at the same time. And we always make different decisions to pull out single varietals. So okay. We usually age everything separately and then we'll decide on the final blend about a year and a half into it.
Okay, I'm looking at Cab Franc, Merlot, Cab Sav, Carmenere, and Petit Verdot. What's carrying it? What's the central wine?
What's carrying it?
Yeah. Is it the Merlot?
Well, the Merlot and the Cab Franc are usually the two top heavy hitters for Synoptic. But it's fun having the other side varietals because I think they do have quite an influence on the taste and final product. So we get six varietals to play with, which is quite neat when blending.
All right. Let's talk about your Else for just a second because I know you're pouring the Piquette, the Vio, the Muscat on Skins, your crazy, crazy Pino, Carbo, Carbo, and the Merlot. The Piquette, is it new for you?
I make a Piquette every year, but I always have a different form of Piquette. It's I prefer to use the skins that haven't been fermented down. They still have a bit of juice. Okay. We work with a basket press at Echo Bay, so there's usually a lot of life left in the skins, which helps concentration in a Piquette. So, yeah, this is the first year doing the Cab Franc Piquette, which is kind of fun.
And the Viognier?
The Viognier is a pet nat that yeah, from a friend and the friend, I'm a bit of a scrappy grape getter. So try and get whatever I have, what other people have extras of. And yeah, first time working with that grape.
And you put Muscat on Skins. You have it on the label. You want people to know it's Muscat on Skins.
I want people to know. Yeah, it's not your traditional Muscat. I've done a skin contact Muscat the past 4 years. So it's slightly changed every year with the amount of time on skins, but the same general idea to do a dry Muscat, kind of more of a textural side of things.
And two more, the Pinot, Carbo, Carbo, which is Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir. Is it 50-50? How does it go?
It's 70 Pinot Blanc, 30 Pinot Noir. Okay. The Blanc is straight pressed and then starts fermenting. The juice starts fermenting and I plop in some Pinot Noir bunches, close the lid and it ferments carbonically for about a week. And then presses off, and it's my quasi-rosé style
of wine. Of course it is. Yeah. And people, I know they love it. People love it. And the last is the Merlot. You had enough Pinot Blanc left over to add it to the Merlot.
Yeah, the Pinot Blanc has been a fun little recipe addition to some of the wine. So the Merlot, I did a light version of Merlot so you can chill it for summer nights. And
okay.
The Pinot Blanc just helps add to that lifting of fruit and really showcase the lighter side of the Merlot.
Okay, so here's the deal. How can people find you?
Well, they can find me on elsewines.ca and echobayvineyard.ca. Okay. That's where we'll be releasing some wines in the next couple of months. And Else will be released next month and Echo Bay in July.
And do you have anything under the table today? What's under the table that you're pouring secret?
No secrets. Okay. I just bring a ton of wine and hopefully everyone can try everything.
Thank you, Kelsey. We got to go. We can't keep meeting like this, but I appreciate it very much.
I know.
Carry
Thanks
on.
So much for
Carry
the chat.
On. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New Kids on the Bench, the Hillside Bistro Collaboration Culinary Dinner. As the chefs of the Naramata Bench come together for a legendary wine and dine event, Monday, June the 12th. Hillside Wines to watch for, Below the Road Rosé, the new 22 Gou in Pinot Blanc, the 2019 Gamay, and the platinum-winning 2021 Heritage Viognier. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And if you're gifting over the next little while, consider picking up an Unsworth gift card that can be used at the restaurant, the tasting room, and the wine shop. They're convenient, and best of all, they're reloadable. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. I found David Patterson from Tantalus, the general manager and chief winemaker. He's signed on for both assignments. He's doing Top Drop Vancouver and Top Drop Calgary. How was Vancouver in general?
Really good, actually. You know, the quality of producers at Top Drop is excellent. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
What do you? The common thread. I know that we see the common thread, David, is sustainability, is organics, is commitment, is transparency. What else do you see in common with those people that you were pouring with?
Well, you know, all the Top Drop producers, you know, that has been the ethos of Top Drop, you know, from the very beginning, to work with, you know, the smaller, independent, sustainable, organic, biodynamic minded people. And, you know, that remains so. But, you know, I think one of the great things about these kinds of events and about Top Drop is the camaraderie in between. You know, we pour for consumers, we pour for all the trade in these cities. We have great conversations there, but I think we get a lot out of chatting to each other about what the challenges we're facing and you know, what we do at our respective properties, and we can learn from each other different techniques, and from that comes opportunity. So it's been really good.
Networking
for sure.
How about that? Wonderful. David Patterson is in Calgary for Top Drop Calgary. I was going to ask you about the because I do radio show and have done for some 27 years throughout the province of Alberta, and I've noticed that people ask me about different things about BC wine. I wonder if you would pour differently in Calgary than you would in Vancouver. Or you're pouring your five wines?
Well, you know, so in it's interesting. So in Calgary, it takes about 4 or 5 months to four or five months to get the wine into the Alberta market.
Yeah,
we're releasing all of our new releases into BC now. So in BC, we were pouring brand new things to market, and in Calgary, we're showing a couple of new things that are about to hit the market, and we're showing the last of what has been in the market for the last year.
So I see the Old Vines Riesling 2020, the Pinot Noir 21, the Riesling 2022, the Rosé 2022, and the Syrah 2021.
Those are all brand new products. I'm going to be pouring a little bit of 20 Pinot and 19 Old Vines, etc., under the table as well.
And do they lean, are they big red wine drinkers in Calgary?
I mean, traditionally, yes, the big red meat, big reds kind of kind of town. But I think what we've seen in Calgary in the last even 15 years is an explosion of excellent culinary talent.
Yes,
seems to be in Calgary, and it's quite a foodie town now. You know, you've got the likes of Model Milk, etc., that have been around for a while that really changed the game in this city.
And things
like Major Tom and that opening up,
exactly.
There's plenty of great restaurants out here.
You've got people.
And I
like,
think that's changed the way people drink wine.
Exactly. Too. Well, people like Brad Royale, for example.
For sure.
He knows his wines. He understands what he's looking at when he stands in front of you.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure he will with his hand out with a glass in it. I love the Old Vines Riesling, and we know you for that, of course. And the Pinot Noir is gaining momentum. The Syrah, it's an interesting. I was honored to be judging at the Lieutenant Governor Awards, and we noticed that that there was a bit that we were all talking about the Syrah that we were tasting, a lot of it, and yes. how good it was. And I think that there's a pattern this year anyway about where that Syrah is grown, whether it's north of McIntyre Bluff or below McIntyre Bluff. What would you say? Where do you think the strength is just now?
Well, I think, you know, for a long time, Pinot Noir has been the Okanagan's sort of number one single varietal in my mind. You know, there's plenty of other candidates for that title, but I'm maybe a little bit biased towards Pinot Noir. But I think, you know, Syrah is a very strong second at the moment. And potentially even surpassing Pinot Noir in overall world-class quality. I think that Syrah in the Okanagan has effortless power. So there's, if you treat it well, you can get some really lovely florals and finesse to the wine. But there's effortless power. We don't need to use a lot of oak to punch up the Syrah here. So it reminds me a lot of Gimlet Gravel's Hawke's Bay.
Oh my goodness.
You get that pepperiness, you get the a little bit of meatiness in the Syrah, and I think they're quite compelling wines. And as we see these vines age, if they survive the winters, of course, we're going to see better and better Syrah come out of the valley. Unfortunately, Syrah doesn't love the cold as much as some of the other varieties. So, yep. 2023 is going to be a fairly scarce commodity when it comes to Syrah.
Okay. And Gimlet Gravels just gives me goosebumps every time I hear somebody talk, especially somebody from down under. Have yourself a great time in Calgary. Try go be a foodie tonight somewhere somehow.
I will. I'm planning to hit Major Tom as soon as this first event's over.
And say hello to Brad. Thank you very much.
Will do. Okay, thanks, mate.
Thank you,
mate. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. There's an event coming to Vancouver from the Hatch. Anytime that they leave the Hatch to go into somebody else's ballpark and, you know, play a road game, you know it's got to be special. And we're going to find out how special it is. I think it's important that we introduce Devlin Barker, who's the all-star backup to Jason Parks Customs and the Hatch. He's the guy that steps forward when the place gets too busy. And he finds time for me, and I appreciate it very much. I see that the invitation is, and out come the wines. It's a great poster, by the way. It's a great poster. And for the punks who brought you the Hatch, Blacksmith Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, and Screaming Frenzy. Okay, a couple of things about the poster. By the way, the pour is the 7th of June, which is a Wednesday. Where are you going to pour these wines?
We're going to be at Mahoney's Tavern in False Creek. 5:30 p.m. to 9:00.
How did this come about? This need to bring the Hatch and the Hatch ideas, and the gang down to Vancouver to pour.
Well, the idea started because we got through the long dark winter here and realized we had some really fantastic wine sitting on our shelves, and since, you know, these COVID restrictions are no longer a thing that we have to worry about, we thought, why not go to the people? And we all miss the ocean. So that's how things went from there.
But as usual, your pours, I do pours all the time. At least it feels like it. the new releases. It's just what's coming out they want people to know about. But you've brought some pours that have been hanging in dark rooms for a while and have gotten better with the hang. Let's start with the hatch. All right, let's start with the 2017 Merlot Rider.
You bet. This one was at the top of the list for me because it just won a gold medal Lieutenant Governor Award. 2017 vintage, drinking fantastically well. With only 24 cases left of this one, all a Soyuz fruit Merlot, and it's just a beauty.
The 2017 Merlot. Okay, so the 2019, what's the Unicorn?
Yeah, Unicorn of the Sea. It's another one featuring some beautiful artwork from Paul Morstad, who will be at the event on the 7th with some of his original artwork. This one featuring the artwork with the gentleman carrying the narwhal, hence the name.
Yes.
And this one it's a bomb. 50% Malbec, 50% Syrah, 100% delicious. It's absolutely incredible.
Okay, so those are the first two. You're going to pour the 2019 Monarch Cab.
Yes. This is another gold medal winner, actually, Lieutenant Governor Award. This one saw 32 months in second fill Pinot barrels. and only 24 cases of that left too. And I mean, 2019 for a cab, still in its younger days, this one's going to go the distance. If you want it to ride the pine for a few years, it's going to get even better.
So this is Black Swift 2019 Monarch Cab. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then you follow it up with the 2021, is it Two Shards?
Yeah, Two Shards. We're bringing the Long Road and the Longest Road.
So the 2021 Long Road Chardonnay, which I love, the Longest Road, I don't know that I've tasted.
Long Road is all stainless, Oliver fruit, whereas the Longest Road was one that we actually dreamt up for wine club members. That one sees 11 months in neutral barrels with a nice little barrel ferment going on there, all Summerland fruit. So similar, but also quite different.
Okay, then there's a third batch you wanted to talk about, the 2021 The Man Ruzan.
You know what? This one is like sneaky, one of my favorites. We tasted through all 16 wines that we're bringing the other day, and this one really stood out to me. I'm a big fan of the acid, and this one had all of that and more. It was fantastic.
Just 100% Roussanne?
100% Roussanne.
Damn,
exactly.
Man. Damn.
And only $25.99.
Okay, put away a case for me, would you? Just send it off to the side.
Yeah, so we now have 35 cases for the event.
This is Crown and Thieves 2021 The Man Roussanne. I mean, Roussanne in the Okanagan Valley, single vineyard. It's fantastic.
It is really stunning. I think it's a bit of a misunderstood grape. I know a lot of people that come into the tasting room haven't necessarily heard of it. And I would very, very much caution not to shy away from it for that reason.
I keep wailing about it. I just keep raving about it because I love it so much. So much.
Well, we're on the same team.
So that's a 2021. Now, here's the one that I got to stop me dead. 2014 Broken Wing Merlot. Where was it hiding and how did we have some?
I can tell you we had a stack of this down at the warehouse. And the reason why it was forgotten is that it was all unlabeled. So we've pulled it out of the warehouse, dusted it off, thrown some new labels on it, and it's ready to go.
Devlin Barker, who's the all-star backup to Jason Parks Customs, and the Hatch, he's the guy that steps forward when the place gets too busy. And he finds time for me, and I appreciate it very much. I've just looked at the list of the other wines that you're pouring.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Jay, a Soyuz, 47 Merlot, 33 Cab Franc, 18% Cabernet Sauvignon, 38 months in BBL, 100% French Oak.
But this was the wine that we released as a celebration of Jason's 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And it really is a Jason wine. Obviously, you know Jay very well. He loves to build his Meritage or Bordeaux blends on a canvas of Cab Franc. And this is exactly that. It's his tried, tested, and true blend with a whole whack of French oak on it. And it's stunning.
It's a 2017?
2017. Yeah.
Speaking of Cab Franc, the next one says Franc says relax 2019. Oh, sorry, this again. Cab Franc fully Cab Franc. 26 months in 60% French, 40% American oak. Wow.
It sounds like you're going to be hopping on that ferry.
No, I am not. I'm not coming anywhere near you guys. But if you're in Vancouver, you don't want to miss this. Let's just talk about the event itself.
Mahoney's Tavern, False Creek, June 7th from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tickets are only $25.
See, so it's going to be a mix of club members and people just walking in the door, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got a fantastic following down there in the Lower Mainland, and quite a lot of our members are coming out for the event, so excited to see them face-to-face again.
So here's the deal, friends. You get to sample some of the most delicious wines from the Hatch, Blackswood Vineyards, and Crown and Thieves, Jason Parks Customs. If you want to appreciate what the Hatch does, what they create, the way they think, if you want an opportunity to really change some of your of wine habits, the way you what you feel about wine, red or white, this is your opportunity. And this is Wednesday, June the 7th, Mahoney's, the Hatch, Screaming Frenzy, Crown and Thieves, coming to Vancouver for a pour. Now, what's the website?
Website is thehatchwines.com. Right on the homepage, you can find tickets right there.
Thehatchwines.com. Thank you so much, Dev.
Thanks, Terry.
He is Devlin Barker. He's the guy that speaks for Jason Parks Customs and the Hatch, Black Swift, the Swifties, everything. Jason Parks Customs Wine Tasting and Library Wines event taking place Wednesday, June the 7th, from 5:30 to 9 at Mahoney's Tavern in False Creek. This is going to be wild. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And if you're gifting over the next little while, consider picking up an Unsworth gift card that can be used at the restaurant, the tasting room, and the wine shop. They're convenient, and best of all, they're reloadable. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com.